Good morning. As everybody we've just sung, we're actually going to listen to God's word now. This is from Mark's Gospel in the blue Bibles in front of you. That's on page 1015. If everybody can see a Bible, page 1015. So this is Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11 together. And that's headed up, Jesus comes to Jerusalem as King. Can we all be quiet and we'll listen now? We're all going to listen to this together. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And this is God's word for us today.
Thank you very much to Mary for reading and to Lisa for leading, and all the others who have been up here have been helping out with Holiday Club this week. It's been a great week and we've enjoyed it immensely, and very grateful for all those who have helped out in so many ways, either up front or behind the scenes. Let me just pray for us, and then we're going to look together at that passage that Mary just read to us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that we have it and we can read it. And please help us to understand what it says about your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. So this week, a Holiday Club, and perhaps you can read it with me, we've been finding out about this. So can we read it? It says, God's amazing rescue plan for his people. Great. That's what we've been looking at Holiday Club this week. God's amazing rescue plan to rescue his people. And today we're looking at the heart of that rescue plan, which was the last week of Jesus' life and death on the cross. And today we're looking at the first day of the last week. It's not Palm Sunday today, but we're looking at the passage which is about, which is sometimes called Palm Sunday, or the triumphal entry. And it's all about as Jesus gets ready, and as he approaches Jerusalem, and as he enters Jerusalem. So that's what we're looking at today. Now, there's one big point I want to get us to remember today, to take away with us, and it's this. This is what the passage teaches, that Jesus is the King who saves and who judges. So there's three parts to that. Jesus is the King, that's the first part. Second part, he is the King who saves. And the third part, he is the King who judges. So let's look at the first part together, that Jesus is the King. And I wonder if you can tell me on this slide, what all of the places underneath the flags have in common. So you've got a flag and you've got the country over the top, and then underneath you've got the name of a place, and perhaps some of the older children. Yaden? Well done indeed. They're all capital cities. And I wonder if you can tell me, as a second question for the older ones perhaps, what is the capital of Israel? Yeah, go for it. Yep. Jerusalem, fantastic. The capital of Israel is Jerusalem. Now, our capital city, easier question, is London. It's up on the screen. And the royal residence is Buckingham Palace, and we might go there from time to time to wave our flags, or not, depending upon how we're well inclined. But if you were an Israelite, you would go to Jerusalem, and you would go there not to wave flags, but to worship at a place called the Temple. Here's a picture of the Temple as it looks today, about 2 miles away from it. It's an aerial shot, but it's taken from over a place called the Mount of Olives, 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And here's what it used to look like in the time of Jesus there. And we've got a reconstruction there right in the middle, just up here. Just around here you can see that what's called the Temple Complex. And that symbolically was where God was said to dwell. God the King was said to dwell. So the people of Israel used to go to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage every single year, and they used to go to worship God the King. Now that's where we meet Jesus at the beginning of our passage. Perhaps you can see it there at the beginning. Jesus and his disciples are about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. They've reached the Mount of Olives and they're on a pilgrimage. And Jesus decides that he's not going to walk into Jerusalem. And that's because Jesus is no ordinary pilgrim. Ordinary pilgrims walked into Jerusalem, but Jesus doesn't. And it's not because he's sprained his ankle. It's not because he's lazy. It's because he wants to make a point about who he is. Now, I want you to tell me the odd one out from these next four pictures. So you've got a car and a carriage and a boat or a barge and a donkey. Odd one out, anyone? Yeah, Finley? A donkey, yeah, the donkey's the odd one out. All of the other three have been used by our queen as royal transport. So you might remember the royal barge from the Jubilee. But in a sense, none of them are the odd one out. So it's a bit of a trick question in that sense, because they are all royal modes of transport, as we see in our story here. Look down at your Bibles and tell me, count up, how many times is the word colt used, C-O-L-T, and a colt is a foal of a donkey. How many times is colt used? Have a quick check through. I think you have to go right the way through to verse 7 before you get them all. Stick your hand up when you think you know. I've got one over here. I've got one over there. A couple over there. Fantastic. What do you think? Three? Any advance on three, anyone? Yeah, we've got a few people. What do you think, Layla? Four. Excellent. It's mentioned four times. Now, when something's mentioned four times in a passage, you know that it's really important. And it's really important that the cult is mentioned four times. If you were to drive into London on that carriage, people would think that you must be someone special. Perhaps you're royalty of some kind, or perhaps the mayor. Well, if you rode into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey, then you were saying that you were someone special. You were saying that you were the king of Israel and the king of the whole world. And that's what Jesus was doing. And the people of Israel knew that because in their Bibles, in the Old Testament, written 518 years before Jesus came, the prophet Zechariah wrote this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Zion's another name for Jerusalem, as the next verse shows us. "Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, look, Your king is coming to you. How will you recognize the king? Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Jesus chose to come into Jerusalem on a colt because he is making the big point that he is Israel's king, that he is therefore the king of kings, the king of the world, and your king and my king. He is the king everyone should bow down and worship. That's who he is. But we can learn some more things about the king. So he is not only the king, he is the king who comes, and this is the second point, that comes to save. Notice it says, what does he have with him when he comes? Can you see what it says there? What does he have with him when he comes riding into Jerusalem? He has salvation. See that there? He's come to save people. And Jesus has got hold of the colt by this point, and the people throw all of their cloaks on top of the colt to make a sort of makeshift saddle for him. And Jesus, at this point, enters Jerusalem on... They give him the red carpet treatment. What do they use as a red carpet? See what they use as a red carpet? Yeah? Their coats, yes. Excellent. And one other thing. Yeah, go on, later again. They were probably waving them in the air at some point as well. Somebody else? Go for it. Branches, fantastic. So they make a red carpet for him. Now, there's a story that when Queen Elizabeth was walking around, Queen Elizabeth I, that at that point Sir Walter Raleigh took off his cloak and put it in a puddle so that she could walk over it. It's probably a myth, that, but if you come more up to date, here's one that's true. Modern royalty in Madonna, red carpet being made for her at the 2012 Super Bowl. But this is what's happening, you see. The crowds are giving Jesus the royal treatment, the red carpet treatment, because they recognize that he's God's promised king. And the reason why they're so excited about it is because they know that the promised king has come to save. Now, have a look at what they shout out. What's the word? There's two words that they repeat, but what's the word they say twice there? Beginning with H. Can everybody see that? It's on the screen. That's super. Yeah, go for it. Hosanna. And the word Hosanna means save, or save us now. Save us now. And that's what they're shouting when Jesus comes. The crowds think they need to be saved from the Romans, because the Romans were in charge at that time. But Jesus has been teaching his disciples that we need to be saved from something far worse than the Romans. We need to be saved from sin. Now, we've been thinking at Holiday Club about sin, and we've described sin like this. We've said that sin is saying to God, shove off, I'm in charge, no to your rules. That's what sin is. It's a heart attitude. Can we do that together? Shove off. I'm in charge. No to your rules. Because it's really important to understand what that is. Let's do it once more. Shove off. I'm in charge. No to your rules. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. All of us have actually done that to God in one way or another. And because we've sinned, it results in all kinds of ugly things called sins. All of the kind of things. Now, it's all fallen off here. But there we go. Things like being uncaring and mean and selfish. That's the S of sin. So we've done all of those kind of things to God. We've said, shove off, I'm in charge, no to your rules. And it's produced all of these ugly things in our lives. But Jesus said that he had come to save. And he predicted three times that he'd come to suffer and to die on the cross. So for all of our unkindness and jealousy and disobedience, and who would say that we've never done any of those things? For all of our bitterness and rudeness and anger, that Jesus came and suffered and died on the cross and paid the penalty for our rejection of God. Now here we've got another picture, because when Roman generals, this is a mock-up of what it might have looked like, had when they've been out to war and they've killed 5,000 people, you have to kill 5,000, when you came back to Rome, you got given what was called a triumphal entry, a special procession in your honour. When Jesus comes on his triumphal procession, he doesn't come to kill anyone. He hasn't killed anyone. He comes to lay down his life and be killed to save thousands, to save anyone who trusts in him. Even if that's somebody here this morning who puts their trust in him, he's come to save you. Jesus is the King who saves. And the third point is this, that Jesus is the King who saves and who judges. So Jesus has got hold of the colt. He's come into Jerusalem. He's ridden into Jerusalem. And now he enters into Jerusalem and goes to his royal palace, the temple. Look what happens in verse 11. Find the small number 11 on page 1016. And it's quite a surprise. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. It's a bit of a puzzle. What's going on there? Imagine you've got a business and you go on a trip and you leave your staff in charge behind, and you come back after many weeks and you find the office door bolted and there's a sign on the door which says, "Shove off, we're in charge, no entry to you." Can you imagine how you would feel? That is what King Jesus finds when he comes back to the temple, his royal residence. He should have been welcomed. He's God's king, but he finds no welcome. He looks and he sees that they're not ready for him. Actually worse, as we'll see in a minute. See, the ones who should be shouting Hosanna are the priests. Here's the priests. They're the ones who should be going, "Yes, save now, Jesus, save us now, save us from our sins." But the priests aren't the ones that shout that out. They are completely silent. It was their job to shout that out, to lead the people to trust in God's King, but they are silent. Isn't that a shock? The religious people are silent and actually go on to plot to kill Jesus, and we'll begin to see what Jesus is going to do in response next week. But the religious people are silent, whereas it's the crowds who recognize that they need to be saved and shout out, "Hosanna, save us, and welcome Jesus." Now, this is treason. It would be like the Queen's Guard blocking the Queen from going into Buckingham Palace. What will Jesus do about it? Well, we will see next week, as I said. But again, for now, I want you to notice who it is that rejects Jesus Christ. It's the religious people. And it's still the religious people today who reject Jesus. Did you know that? It's always religious people who reject Jesus. Why? Ryland, come and help me up here if you wouldn't mind. You just stay there. Just there. That's fine. Just face us all. As I've said, we're all sinners. Every single one of us. I'm just going to stick that on there. Been working out, Ryland, I can tell. Am I putting that on? But the thing is, religious people say that they do good things. You're going to have to stay still here. And religious people say, I give to charity. And religious people say, I pray. And religious people say, I go to church. And because they do all of those things and think that all of us are religious to some degree, and we say we do good things, and we think we're good, what happens is we forget that we are sinners. We say, I'm good, I pray, I go to church, I do this, I do the other. And we forget that we are sinners and we need to give our sin to Jesus to let him pay for it. And so we don't let our sin go to Jesus on the cross, and we forget that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. And that's one big reason why religious people are often the people who reject Jesus, because they don't see that they need themselves to be forgiven. Thank you very much, Ryland. Give you a little clap there for that. Off you go. You can keep those as a special present. Good works can stop us from coming to Jesus Christ. The problem is, if we don't give our sin to Jesus and let him pay for it, then when Jesus Christ returns, we will need to pay for it ourselves. As we finish, who are we most like in the story, I wonder? Who are you most like in the story? Have a think about this. Now, we know we're not like Jesus, because that passage from Zechariah said that he was righteous, he was right, he was good, he was perfect. We're not like him, so we can't be like him. Are we like the priests, perhaps, the religious people, that we keep silent, that we've never said to Jesus, save us, because we don't really think that we need saving? Well, if we've been hanging around churches and we've heard this message and we've never said, save me, to Jesus, we need to beware, because when Jesus returns, Jesus is going to come as judge. But I hope we're more like the crowds. Perhaps we haven't pieced it all together like the crowds had, but perhaps we can rejoice and shout aloud and say, Jesus, I recognize there's something wrong, and there's something you need to come and do to save me. And that we're able to hand over our sin and to ask for forgiveness. And when Jesus comes, as he's promised he will come not as our judge, therefore, but as our savior, if we're trusting in him. Jesus is the king who saves and who judges. Let's be ready to meet him, not as our judge, but as our savior. Lisa.